Pivot. That's what we're here to talk about every day. Not every day. Once a week. I've got to come up with something different when we open the podcast.
I'm like, are you recording right now? I thought maybe you were. That was a testing instead.
No. Okay. No. I just thought we would open differently. So, okay. Welcome to the Parent Pivot Podcast. Say that 10 times real fast. I am Steve Cummings.
And I'm Julia Cummings.
And like we do all the time, we literally flip on the mics and go, what are we talking about today? And so the mics are on. I'm looking at my beautiful bride of almost 36 years coming up in a
couple weeks. Yep.
Did I tell you what we're doing for our anniversary?
Yep.
We're going to go see Six.
Yep.
And this Six has to do with some king had six wives.
It's King Henry VIII.
There we go. Now, why is that such a good thing to go see? Like, we're supposed to be good. We're here with monogamous, you know, family content, and yet we're going to go watch a play called Six.
King Henry was kind of a twisted soul.
I wonder if you have ever pivoted well from being a parent to a partner.
Him?
Yeah.
Anyway,
sorry, we're getting off track. Sweetie, what do we want to talk about today?
So today I wanted to talk about anxiety.
Ooh.
And just a realization that anxiety is something every single human being on the face of the planet experiences at one point or another. Some of us are higher anxiety than others. Our generation probably experienced just as much anxiety as younger generations. It's just younger generations, it's kind of an in thing to zero in on it now.
Well, and we're also using it as an excuse, or I'm a victim and stuff like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, there is some excuse stuff to it, but everybody's trying to avoid it.
Well, right.
And our generation didn't necessarily avoid it. Our parents' generation certainly didn't avoid it.
I don't even think they knew what it was.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I don't care if I experience anxiety. We just do what we have to do.
Pull yourself up from your bootstraps and get on with life.
Yeah, I think our generation, probably in raising our kids, we experienced anxiety and we didn't want our kids to experience. And so we worked overtime to try to have them not experience it. Mm. And now these generations that are coming up are having a really hard time with anxiety.
Yeah. Well, and the pandemic did not help.
No, the pandemic definitely didn't help. But what I really want to get to and talk about today is you and your anxiety and how identifying it, even though you never have, you've just plowed through, you've just done it, you've coped. We all have coping mechanisms and we all do things to appease our anxiety. So, for example, something really minute, actually, it might not be minute to your family, but you know, if you were the type of person that needed a very structured house that was very clean and whatever, part of the reason why you need that is because of anxiety. Not having it produces anxiety for you, so therefore you maybe excessively clean
not
your
having
house.
A clean house.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I remember a friend of mine once saying, yeah, you can either, I've told my husband, you can either pay for a cleaning lady.
Or therapy.
And, you know, they chose cleaning lady because it did affect her so much that it would produce anxiety. And we all have those things in our life. So where I want to go with this today is just the idea that you are now a parent of an adult child or many adult children. Maybe you're a grandparent. It may be time to look at your anxiety and how it manifests itself and see how it's affecting your children and their children.
Oh, wait a minute. Time out here. So you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, and mind you, I sleep with this woman every night, that it's not just a matter of having anxiety, but now that I've either got adult children who are, they could have just recently become adults and moved out and got married, or maybe been an empty nester for years, and you're a grandparent. It's not just about identifying my own anxiety, but you're telling me somehow my anxiety affects them.
Yes.
Oh, ding,
well,
ding, ding, ding.
And it affected them their whole lives.
True.
It's just they probably couldn't put words to it. You didn't put words to it. So now here you are. Let's say as we've talked about many times, let's talk about holidays and the fact that you may be trying to control what happens on holidays.
Or even with vacations coming up for the summer.
Exactly. Same type of thing.
Same
thing. This is what we've always done.
We've always done this week.
It's maybe very anxiety producing to have a change in that for you. And so, you know, while we talk about grieving and changes and all of that, I would venture to say that all of it can kind of go back to the root of anxiety. That part of the reason why we don't handle change well, why we love tradition, why we do certain things, right, is it brings us joy.
Kind of like having that housekeeper to clean up the house.
Right. But if those changes are happening, you may be experiencing a lot of anxiety. And when you experience anxiety, maybe how it manifests itself is through control.
Yeah.
And so then you're trying to control your children.
You're leaning into them saying, no, we've got to do it this way, and because you're basically managing your anxiety. If it doesn't work out my way, then I'm going to be a basket case.
Right.
And whatnot. And so,
right.
Yeah. So.
And I'm trying to come up with a parallel in my own life of how this manifests itself. I can tell you, I hate change. I mean, I am not one that likes change. Change is bad.
Right. No, but I think we've talked a lot about this, and for when we had Wesley, our oldest, we got pregnant a second time, and it was like surprise. It's like, oh wow, and we had moved from Colorado to Pasadena, and we suddenly found out that we couldn't make it month to month, and things, and we moved in with your oldest brother, and let's just say, you know, living with another family, it's very drama oriented. Whatnot, there was a lot of anxiety that you were going through.
Well, yeah, I was pregnant and we had one vehicle that you were taking to work all the time.
Right.
And I had, an infant. Our first two were 13 and a half months apart. So that kind of gives you an idea.
Yeah,
of
a lot of anxiety. And that child is a very sensitive young man. I love him to pieces. But I think you and I have seen the long-term effects of how that happened.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. And even with Wesley, I think Wesley has struggled with some anxiety. Well, I think all my kids have, for sure. But, you know, just I don't know how to say this other than what you experience, your kids will experience. Because oftentimes if we are not looking for what we're doing, if we are not having just a little amount of introspection, it will spill out on those around us.
So maybe the first step I'm hearing you say is if you're not aware that you even have any anxiety that may impact your kids as you pivot from the parent to the partner, again, because we're trying to improve on the relationship.
Right.
So that means anything that has happened prior to them launching, getting married, whatever, and they become their own. All that stuff is we're now going to pivot. And part of this is looking at our own anxiety. So part of this might be an awareness thing. Do I have anxiety? What brings me anxiety?
Yeah.
So maybe you take a notebook and you sit under a tree or you go somewhere and you spend some time going, what makes me anxious?
Right.
You know, maybe it's like sometimes for us, you know, our three of our four kids are on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you basically call it anxiety, but...
Well, I think it is because... I think about people who come into my office and most of the people who have adult children are struggling. And again, you might not give it the name anxiety. You might call it, oh, I worry about my kids or how am I going to
deal with
this
with my kids?
Anxiety,
worry, and fear are all kind of the same family.
They are. They're all very much related. And... the truth is that I think that's a great idea to sit down with pencil and paper and think about that because our kids do produce anxiety.
You can pull up a note on your iPhone. You don't have to get the pencil and paper. That's the old-fashioned way. That's for the greatest generation, for you boomers and earlier.
I like paper.
Okay. I'm just using an option. I always put things on my phone.
Yes, however you want to do it. Whatever.
Yeah, what gives you anxiety? Is it financial? Is it your kids aren't close to you? You don't get to see the grandkids? Is it vacations? Is it holidays? What is it that gives anxiety. Or maybe it's like the kids aren't turning out the way I want them to.
And that's a bigger issue, I would say, because oftentimes our kids don't do what we think they quote unquote should be doing.
Right.
And so it does create anxiety in us.
And that's why we have a podcast.
Exactly. But the thing that I want to get you to is, yeah, sit down with and jot down what those things are that cause you anxiety. And it can be anything from A to Z, and it does not have to be your kids, but more often than not,
yeah,
there is some kid-related stuff. And right now, I think...
We're recording this before we post it on Tuesday, so we're going through the lunar eclipse right now. It's getting a little
solar eclipse. Yeah, it's getting a little dark right now.
A little bit darker, so we want to finish in time so we can go watch it. So
yeah,
if we hustle you through a podcast, that's the reason. But no, so
anyway,
first of all, you write it down and identify what are my anxieties.
Right, but then I want you to stop and look at yourself and ask yourself a hard question. How does this anxiety in me come out? What do I do to counter it? What do I do to cope with it? What am I doing that may be spilling out on others around me?
So can we list some things?
Sure.
Might go shopping.
Yeah.
Might, shopping means maybe you have too many things that you're buying, too many clothes, too many tools. Men can do this too.
Yeah.
We have too many things, and somehow we think that that's going to, we're going to medicate by buying things, because that dopamine rush helps us to forget about the anxiety, and that's going on physiologically in our brains. And of course, you can be drinking more wine than you need to drink, or, you know, you're sneaking other stuff or pills or other things can be
gambling, sex.
Whatever gives you a dopamine rush is going to take away. And again, well, as soon as that's over, the anxiety is still there.
Yeah. And that's really the point, is unless you really face it and look at it, kind of dig into it perhaps, maybe just be honest with yourself and then make steps to change it. Like, okay, I am doing this too much.
Right.
Maybe I need to change something. And maybe oftentimes it's control, particularly with adult children that live at home. You might find yourself trying to control who they date, what they're doing as far as work goes,
their schedule,
how they're spending their time, or who their friends are, I don't know, everything.
Right, because what's driving the anxiety is it's not playing out the way I thought it would.
Right, and there may be genuine concern in what you're seeing, for sure.
But. So I've identified it. I'm looking at what do I do to cope with it as step two.
Mm-hmm. Step three, I would say, if you feel like you need some help coping with it, get some help. Talk to a friend, talk to a pastor, talk to a therapist.
Right.
Get some sort of counseling, whatever might work for you, or come up with a habit that counteracts that.
I'm gonna go to the club and work out, get my mind off of it.
Exactly. My brother recently, I don't think my brother listens, but his wife does. My brother and his wife.
You have three brothers, so we don't know which one it is.
Yes, has recently gotten into cold plunging.
Oh, geez.
And so I've been doing a lot of research on cold plunging, because one of the things that came up as I was talking to him about it was how it can affect your moods. And so I've been listening to this woman, Dr. Soberg, who is like the premier researcher on it. And one of the things that she will talk about is that it does give you kind of that dopamine rush to do the cold plunging. And so I've been reading up on it and listening to podcasts and stuff that she's
on. Because you were against doing it.
I was.
And as soon as you found out that, wait, there's a therapeutic value in this,
yes,
all of a sudden I watched her eyes light up and going, oh, maybe I should do this. And I'm thinking, nuts, that means I'm going to have to do it at least once.
Well, I have started out by, I've always done like a cold rinse in my shower, but I'm doing a colder rinse for longer at this point. So that's my starting point, is trying to do that.
And when we say a cold plunge, we're only talking about up to your neck in like this little kind of tub for 3 minutes.
2 minutes, actually. It's she says optimal is 11 minutes a week.
For like 50 degree water?
Anywhere from 41 to 52, even higher than 50. Right. I think 59 is the highest she would go. But anyway, you can find her only, like on YouTube doing
and
things.
If I remember correctly, not only is there therapeutic value that perked your interest, but it also helps with inflammation.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch of other stuff. So it's like, I'm thinking 3 minutes a day, and
it's
I do that.
2 minutes a day. Like, I mean, you, it's.
But your brother said three.
I know. So the thing is it's 11 minutes a week, however you break that
up. You break that down. Okay.
So anyway, but the whole point of why I'm bringing this up is I'm really big on doing new things. And
are we going to get a tub and do this?
No. No.
Oh, thank God.
Let's
go use there.
But trying new things is important at our age. To do new things, try new things. And if you can find something like that, that says it gives you a dopamine rush, that it reduces inflammation, that it helps you with your mood, that yada, yada, yada. Find something like that that actually can be a fun. Well, I don't know how fun it is. I'll let you know. I'm going to California next week.
Are you
going to
do it out there?
I'm going to do it with Wesley. I decided Wesley's really the one that introduced it to us. So I decided I'm going to do it with him. I may just go in the cold swimming pool to start with and then do his ice plunge.
You've done that before, though. That's not a big thing.
Yeah, but it's still, it depends on how cold the pool is.
All right. So. Okay, but I want to also reiterate, too, when we talked about finding a safe person, if you can't afford counseling, maybe your spouse is a good listener.
Yeah.
The idea is verbalize this anxiety and get it out.
Yeah.
With another person who's not going to try to fix it. They're just going to listen and going, wow, I get it. Yep, I'm so sorry. Yes. And maybe if they're willing to pray over you for that, because I don't think that comes from God. Things like that. I don't want to get super spiritual here and trite. But yeah, so find a safe person. The other thing I want to learn is I heard from a friend of mine who works at a Christian rehab place. And he said that anxiety and gratitude cannot coexist in your heart at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So he was telling the clients in group therapy, hey, you want to know the quickest way out of anxiety? Start making a list of the things that you're grateful for, and you will watch that anxiety go away. And there's, and I've done that many, many a time, thinking I've almost kind of woken up in like a little bit of a panic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, going, okay, Father, what am I grateful for? You know, I start listing them. And again, there's many, many things that we take for granted that are blessings.
Yeah.
Our house is still standing. It's so old. I keep waiting for something to go belly up, and it's going to cost us a lot of money. We live in a space where we see deer and chipmunks, and today there's two geese outside in the background, laying in the backyard and stuff. And so it's all peaceful here. And so I'm thinking through my mind and rolling through it. And as I do that and I'm praising God and giving him thanks, guess what? Zero anxiety in my heart.
Yeah.
So that's one tool that you can use.
Yeah. To speak further on that, that is actually an exercise that I give my clients often. In fact, in the last couple of weeks, I think I've had two clients that I've asked this to do. And what I ask them to do is to take a piece of paper, write 1 through 100 on the left side. It may take
100.
100. And I ask them, excuse me, to write down things that they're thankful for. And you can take days to do this. You can take weeks to do it.
Okay, okay. I thought like this was like a moment, go sit on the porch.
No, because you're not going to be able to do it in one sitting sure. But you're always going to start with the most obvious, right? You're my family, my kids,
health, my air in my lungs, my heartbeat.
Yeah. But then you're going to get down to silly things that maybe you're thankful for. I had this one client years and years ago who he bought funky socks. He loved funky socks. He would be dressed to the nines and he always had some funky pair of socks on. I loved it. And he had written down on his list, I love it that I can buy these funky socks. You know, that's the type of stuff that
silly
I'm looking for.
Right.
You're looking for the littlest things that
something
you
that
can
you
put
smile,
on that list.
Something makes you smile, something that's fun. We get to go to the beach or something like that. Yeah, little things like that.
Or it could just be like I'm sitting here at our table in our sunroom. I'm really thankful for this table. This table has a lot of memories. It's been my favorite table. It's a table that people come in and they'll say, oh, I love this table. It's got a big old Lazy Susan in the middle of it. You know, it's stuff like that that we look at every day that we don't think about, that we go, wow, there's a really good memory attached to that. Or I'm just thankful we have that.
Right.
Or
right.
I don't know, maybe you're thankful for your gifts or
yeah.
anything.
Yeah. No, that's good. So, and as we, what we're trying to do as we become aware of our anxiety and take some steps to, again, it's always going to creep back. So don't sit there and think, oh, it went away.
Yeah,
and
never,
it's not
never
coming back.
One and done. Yeah.
It's never one and done. It's going to creep back. But I think the more you can gain some tools and some practice and a rhythm to getting rid of it, then I think you automatically step right into those spaces
yeah.
right away. So identifying it, doing something with it, because we are trying to what?
Well, we're trying to relieve your children and grandchildren or those around you, perhaps your spouse, of your anxiety.
And what does that look like from their receiving end?
That mom or dad is different, that they aren't putting their anxiety on me. They're not demanding something of me as they deal with their anxiety. That maybe mom or dad is looking healthier because they have decided to exercise instead of eat.
Mm.
Or there's a plethora. I mean, if you are a grandparent, you know, it hits you, just how, you know, death isn't around the corner, but, you know, our age, you start to feel your age, you
yeah.
know, as you get older, as you have these new generations come. And one of the ways you start feeling your age is like holding the grandbabies or
right.
playing with them
right.
on the ground or
right.
things like that. So, you know, that's the type of stuff that perhaps that makes a difference for you. You
right.
know, you start ice plunging and your muscles aren't hurting as much anymore.
And I remember sitting at the airport this weekend. I was up in New York and I was waiting for my flight and I saw this cute little couple, and they're probably in their 70s or 80s, but you could just see the anxiety written on their face about maybe getting
traveling.
On the plane. Traveling, or is the plane going to be here? Is it going to be on time? And I mean, every little thing was just, they were standing up and looking and staring out the window, and inside I'm going, oh my gosh, it'll be here. Of course, I travel all the time, so it's
right.
not a big deal, but maybe they don't travel that much.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there thinking, going, I don't want to be that older generational grandparent who can't play with the younger kids because I'm too worried that something's going to happen and
yeah.
that I want to take care of it now. I want to get into a space of where I can manage my anxiety well and do that because my kids are facing a whole different world and their kids a whole different world than I was born into.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't need to be adding to that. And if
yeah.
I want to have great relationship and I want to partner well with my kids, then what I need to do is I need to take care of me. And I think in doing that, we set an example.
That, and you know, like we've said many times before, if things come to mind that where your anxiety has spilled out on others around you, maybe that requires a conversation for you to have where you
right.
go and you're apologizing. You know, I'm realizing I've been full of anxiety
yeah.
and things like that. So, yeah.
yeah so.
So we're going to close up now.
Julia wants to go watch the podcast. I have one question for
Not
you.
Not the podcast. I want to watch.
That's true. You want to watch the eclipse.
yeah.
She listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
You said try new things. You're going to try the cold plunge.
Yeah.
Your birthday's coming up. Are you skydiving?
I'm thinking about it.
I told you I'd go with you.
I'm thinking about it.
You won't let me, will you? My friends told me that skydiving it's not about a fear of heights because even as you jump, it feels like you're going up and not down. So they're not related to each other. So
okay.
I think I could do that. Anyway, two ways to get a hold of us on the Parent Pivot Podcast. One is by email at parentpivotpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us what's going on. What do you think of this podcast? Refer it to friends who maybe they're struggling with anxiety and is playing out with their adult children. Love it. Love to hear some more stories. And you can text me at 714-742-9625. We're ready to rock and roll. We're going to see you next time on the Parent Pivot Podcast.
Bye.